Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
So, do you want to just do away with all pretenses of introduction, pop culture references, Star Trek references, and just get into
We're going to talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
We're going to talk about Dungeons and Dragons. The thing that you want to know what my hot take is? Remember what I was saying? I got a hot.
Yeah, you said you had a hot take. I'm right now. Is the I have to ask? Has this hot take changed at all due to the most recent events?
No.
Okay. Very good.
Here's my hot take. En fuego, Steve. And
I'm ready for your en fuego. It's probably gonna make me laugh.
I don't give a single fuck about any of this.
I don't think that's a take.
That's a take. No. That's a take. I'll go into a little bit deeper of why I don't care and when we kind of talk about it for a little bit, because I think
that's a totally valid stance. I just don't think that's a take.
I guess it all depends on what your definition of stance and take is.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that a take is like I guess I don't actually know what the actual definitions are, but when I feel that the way people use take is a definitive statement about a situation. So yeah. Like if you said like, you know, this guy sucks, that's a take.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't give a fuck, but I do have a reason I don't give a fuck, and I'll go into that in a little bit. So that will be the take. That's a preview of the take. The take is coming later.
Very good.
I feel like I've been a mammoth play all of a sudden, where I'm talking about the definition of a word. Like that's like, it's like that's why it's called money. We should write a play. Yes.
Yeah.
It's so vulgar.
We could become we could become renowned playwrights. You know what? We'll go with the Tarantino angle for our play.
Yeah, you know, I do have a friend whose major, his master's degree was in playwriting.
See, there we go.
I did write several plays when I was in college. They were all one acts. They were all ripoffs of Kevin Smith bits.
Okay.
So I did have one good murder mystery one that I wrote, and I was very proud of that one. But
write a play about Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin Sorbo. But anyway, so let's get into the Dungeons and Dragons OGL issue. So for those who are unaware, OGL stands for
Open Gaming License.
There you go. And Dungeons and Dragons has had this for a while, correct?
Yes, a very long time.
And basically,
I think the OGL was published at the same time as 3.0.
I was going to say, I think it was past 2.5, because I remember 3.0 had a lot of third party people working on books for them. So
the year 2000, it happened in the year 2000. That's when the OGL version 1.1 or 1.0. 1.1 is the current version, but 1.0 was published in the year 2000.
Because I remember getting a copy of Ravenloft for 3.0, and I was like, "What the fuck is Swords and Sorcery?" Like, I thought Ravenloft was D&D. I didn't really quite know what was going on because it was the year 2000. We didn't have internet, so we're still using magazines to masturbate. It was a really, really, really Wild West time.
Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West, Jim West, Desperado. Yeah. Gotta use a magazine because my phone got nada.
I like it. That was good improv, Steve.
Hey, excellent.
Yes, and. So they've had this since third edition, and it basically allows third-party companies to produce material with the Dungeons & Dragons rules engine.
Yeah, mechanics, and you can also use their terminology.
You can use their terminology and their mechanics.
Yeah, well, because mechanics can't technically be copyrighted. Like, you cannot, the way game law works. I actually know a tiny little bit about law for game design and that kind of stuff. Just a bit. I'm not going to say I'm a fucking lawyer, and this is not legal advice. You can't copyright mechanics per se. So, like, example. Most everyone knows that in Magic the Gathering, when you use a card or when you attack a creature, to show that it is used, you turn it 90 degrees. They call that tap. You tap the card. You turn it sideways to show that it's exhausted, it's used, so on and so forth. Now, you cannot copyright using the action of turning a card 90 degrees to indicate that it's been used. You can't copyright that. It's not legal. You can't copyright that kind of stuff. But you can 100% copy the word tap for that action and the symbol for that action. So that's the stuff that's normally like enforceable copyright wise. So the OGL, which is why the OGL is more distinct from just generalized copyright rules, is that in the OGL, you can use official terminology without any worry. So like to use the Magic example, if Magic had an OGL, you could use the word tap on your cards,
mm-hmm.
which you cannot do right now because tap is copyrighted, blah, blah, blah. They could sue your ass in oblivion, but you can use turning the card sideways. With OGL, you could use tap for the same action and call it tap with no harm, no foul. So that's one of the biggest differences between the OGL and like your normal, you know, gaming kind of stuff.
All right. That's a great example. I feel like I know more. Actually, I already knew that, but I'm putting myself in the place of our listeners.
Yes.
So recently it was leaked that Dungeons and Dragons is changing how their OGL will exist.
Yes.
Or, you know, the rules and regulations for their OGL.
Yes.
And a lot of people got really upset about it.
Yeah. A lot of people. It's I've never actually seen the tabletop community united by anything other than liking Critical Role, which is upsetting.
Yeah.
So seeing them united behind something that is actually pretty entertaining, you know, I like that.
So, but let me ask a question though about this whole thing. So they're changing it. Can you summarize the changes like in a nutshell? Give me a brief description of the changes that they want to do, like the most egregious parts.
Okay. In a nutshell, here, I'll give you the fastest version of this change. If you use the OGL, they can charge you money. Like, you have to give them a cut of whatever your profits are, and they can steal your content. If you make up an amazing IP, you don't own that IP because you used it in OGL. Wizards owns that IP. So if you created the next Pokemon under this new OGL, you wouldn't own it. Wizards would own it. So then they could market it. They could sell it. They wouldn't owe you a dime.
Mm-hmm. So, but let me ask you something, Steve, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Actually, I'm not even playing devil's advocate. I'm playing Joe's advocate. Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro own the engine for Dungeons and Dragons, correct?
Yes. They have this engine that they use. Correct. They own that.
And if it's theirs, they can pretty much do whatever the fuck they want with it, right?
Well, sort of, because what they own is they own the OGL. So
yeah,
they themselves crafted the handcuffs that they are now bound by.
Yes, but since it's theirs, they could do what they want with it, correct?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. They could. And that becomes a legal challenge.
Yeah. I'm talking like from now on. Like, let's say they wanted to change and they said anything that was created before, that's fine, but anything that's created after January 14th 2023 are under this new OGL rules. They could do that if they wanted, right?
Now, I think if they did a created before, that would there might actually be there would be some pushback, but I don't think you would have this level of pushback.
Okay.
if they did a created before, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because that would basically any company that currently exists would be, you know, grandfathered.
Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what I'm thinking is like that's what's going to happen. Yeah, they can do what mainly this thing is attacking, like Paizo, right?
Paizo, Cobalt Press, creators. Yeah. Like the various creators in space, because I guess the other two big things I forgot to mention in my quick summation is because it's kind of hard to quickly summate because it gives them so much broad reaching power. The first is basically the virtual tabletop space would be completely owned and dominated by them.
Yeah,
essentially,
I can see that.
Essentially every virtual tabletop would shut down. Like, mm-hmm. like they would just shut down every virtual tabletop and then be like, we are the only virtual tabletop, which then means D&D is the only accessible virtual tabletop game.
Okay.
So that's the first one. The second is, if you create content, they can also demand a cut of your revenue. So, for example, I mean, not that I care about their particular issues. Well, I guess maybe they could even hit us. But if you cover content, so if you're a D&D like podcaster or D&D YouTuber, they can like be like, okay, well, you have to give us this much of a cut to keep covering our content. Yeah. That's another big thing they could do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I would on that part there would probably, this is probably not true, because that's actually covered in Creative Commons and a couple other laws covering like actual news.
Well, there's a it would be specific stuff, because like, for example, like, because like, you know, all the video game companies, they can dispute your use of their video game in on your YouTube channel.
Yes.
But they could not dispute you doing a review of the video game.
Exactly. So like, we wouldn't be hit at all because we just review it. Like, yes, if we were using clips of like the Dungeons and Dragons movie and what we're talking about, maybe. But there's certain things that are like you can use, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's
there's like one. It's specifically you have a certain percentage of time, like seconds wise, that you can use without permission.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you're using song clips, I think it's like something like 8 seconds that you could use with without having to pay any sort of royalty.
Yes, yeah. There is an exact timing, and I think it is 8 seconds.
Yeah, something like that.
We need to use the magic 7.99 to keep this video monetized.
But from what I understand about Paizo and Kobold Press, well, Paizo in particular, I don't know so much. What's Kobold Press you do? They do the Dungeon.
Kobold Press does tons and tons of D&D compatible, D&D compatible expansions.
Yeah. But what is, as I was saying, it's what they did, not Kobold Press. Let's say Paizo, because Kobold Press actually does stuff for D&D. Paizo doesn't. Paizo has their own game, Pathfinder.
Yes.
So Paizo basically took the rules for 3.5 that everybody liked and created our spinoff game based on those rules. Become its own thing.
Yeah, that was Pathfinder. Yeah. That was Pathfinder First Edition.
That was kind of its, you know, it was more popular than Dungeons and Dragons during 4th edition.
It was.
I would say probably. I mean,
it was definitively, like, not around launch time, because around launch time 4th edition was, you know, huge, but like I'd say like midway through 4th edition where like everyone decided to turn on it. Maybe not even midway, but when that like bridge was crossed, everyone was like, okay, well, now we hate this. We hate this thing that we all bought a bunch of. That was when it shifted over to be like, nope, everyone's playing Pathfinder now. And that's when Pathfinder was massive. And there was like the live game hall, the Pathfinder one, which was like double ballroom sized. And then the live game hall for D&D 4th was like a closet. So yeah, there was around that time when Pathfinder was legit bigger.
So when they kind of became bigger in and of themselves, and like basically Pathfinder became its own game, they did it on the back of the Open Gaming License.
Correct.
Dungeons & Dragons wouldn't want that to happen again, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, correct. I mean, like, that's not the reason they're doing it. They're doing it because the bigger, more egregious thing is they said the quiet part out loud when it came to a lot of this. Like, the Dungeons & Dragons leak that I was most disappointed in is where they keep... Basically, you keep hearing over and over again that Hasbro wants to treat its fans like an ATM. Like, they think we just have infinite amounts of money and that everything is going to be monetized in the game.
Yes. That's correct.
Yeah. So that's the part that kind of upsets me, because that's the quiet part. Like, we all understand they're a business. They're going to do things that, you know, they want to make money.
Right.
And there's two ways that you can make money. There's the infinite monetization, where every little piece becomes monetized. Like, oh, you want to have the stats for this specific sword? Well, you got to pay a quarter for it.
Yes. Or you need to own this book digitally.
Yeah, you own this book digitally and you can have blah, blah, blah. It's kind of microtransactions that you see in games like PUBG or something like that.
Yeah,
buy
your Fortnite bucks.
Yeah, your Fortnite skin or whatever that you want to have for your specific character. Here's my own hot take on this. All of the people playing Dungeons and Dragons throughout the pandemic were now the only play online. This is their own damn fault. This is your own making. You have made your bed. Now you have to sleep in it. We gave all this money to Hasbro, and that made them say, oh shit, we can actually, you know, this product that we have that was always kind of popular is now super popular. Let's monetize it And it's mostly because you jerks watching Critical Role gave them all of this attention. And now you play online and you're like, well, I want to play on the special D&D space. And now they're like, well, we can make our own special D&D place where they can play. And now they're like, well, what? There's all these free options. What can we do to get rid of that? Oh, let's blah, blah, blah. Let's tax them because of the OGL. This is all your fault.
I don't know if I'd blame the peons for the.
Oh, I blame the peons. If you played in a basement, a dank basement around an old kitchen table from the 1960s that you took from your mom's house, and you have a bunch of dice and a bunch of old pewter figures sitting on a table, none of this shit would have happened. This is
dangerous boomer take territory, Joe.
This is boomer take territory. No. You know, this isn't boomer take. This is Gen X take. And I'm, you know, I like to say I'm straddling Gen X and millennials.
Boomer 2.0.
Yes. This is my Gen X take. Is that you're playing Dungeons and Dragons wrong. You shouldn't even be playing Dungeons and Dragons. There's better role-playing games. And you know what? Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition isn't even the best Dungeons and Dragons edition. So
sure. It is the most popular, though.
Yes, this is all your own fault. And you know what else? You don't have to deal with any of it. You know why? Because you can get every fucking book for free online if you just know where to look. And it's not even that hard to look. It's just like you just type in Dungeons and Dragons free book and it pops up online. And then you know what? You go to your work and you print it out on your work printer because you got an infinite supply of paper. You don't got to worry about it. And guess what? Life is okay.
I'm just excited to see people actually trying other games.
I am too. That would be actually kind of nice.
Because I actually have seen, like I said, it's anecdotal, but I have seen some locals who are like, well, my group got pissed at D&D because blah, blah, insert influencer said that they should be pissed. So
yeah,
now,
that's exactly
now they want, but hang on, let me do the second half. But I'm super excited about it because now they'll finally be willing to try insert pet game of the GM. That's I've seen that a lot.
I can't wait to get my group to try Shit Lord the board game.
That's called Fatal.
Excuse me.
It's all right.
Oh God. You know, it's true. And I'm kind of excited about it too, but you know what? No one cares. The vast majority of people don't care. And you know, this is a prime example of this is the Avatar, how well Avatar 2 is doing in the theaters, right?
Wait, was there a pushback against Avatar?
What's that?
Was there like a pushback against Avatar?
Well, for years, like, why is he doing Avatar 2? It's not going to make any money. No one remembers anything about Avatar. Now, in all transparency, I didn't like Avatar the first time I saw it. I haven't even seen the second one. But when you get trapped in that echo chamber of Reddit or whatever boards you go to, or Twitter, Reddit, whatever boards, you start hearing the things that you want to hear because that's how the websites make you engage with it.
Right. I mean, that and the other thing, too, how brain dead do you have to be to think that the highest grossing film of all time is going to have a sequel that fucking flopped? Like, yes. Get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, get out of here. Come on.
So people saying, like, I'm not going to play Dungeons and Dragons anymore, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, and Steve is absolutely right when the guy says my favorite influencer said this, because that was what I was going to say. It's like, this is all driven by internet personalities who don't want to have their revenue stream taken away from because Dungeons and Dragons will be taking away the OGL.
Yes. No, absolutely. I mean, don't everyone who is legitimately up in arms about this, they're legitimate because it's going to impact their income.
Yeah,
that's why they're pissed.
And it's the same thing that happened with Games Workshop when they took it away. Like, they wouldn't let creators do whatever on YouTube. It's you built your revenue on someone else's IP. That's your problem. You know, I'm sure that you could go, and if you were to live play D&D and you went to some company that had their own system, like what's a good fantasy RPG right now?
Conan 2D20. No, that's out of print now. So let's just go with
what
Asterin.
About Shadows
of Asterin.
Shadows of Asterin. If you went to Shadows of Asterin, the guys who create that, and said, hey, I want to do a live play of your game, and they'd be like, shit, yes, absolutely, please do.
Yeah, shout out to Shadows of Asterin. Your rule system is really sweet.
I know. Well, I that's what I was saying. I was like, give me a good fantasy system. And people would be like, oh, abso-fucking, they would honestly abso-fucking-lutely let you do it. If you were playing Numenera or, you know, some other Chaosium game, they mm-hmm. would be very happy. I don't know if Chaosium in particular, but I think they would be very happy.
I think Chaosium already has a huge amount of people playing Call of Cthulhu, so
yeah,
maybe one of their game, maybe one of their non-Call of Cthulhu games.
That's what I was saying, like Numenera.
Yeah, yeah.
They did Numenera, right? Am I thinking
that? No, I think Numenera is published by Monty Cook.
What's Monty Cook?
Yeah, I'm
What's
pretty sure Numenera is just legit. Who is? I think it's just published by Monty Cook Games. Chaosium RPG.
They just have a
Call of Cthulhu.
One.
Do
yeah,
they
have a fantasy one though.
Googling now. I have to look.
Wonderful. Great.
Pendragon.
What's that?
They have RuneQuest.
RuneQuest. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, which is super fantasy.
And they
also have a King Arthur one called Pendragon.
Pendragon. Yeah, that's a great one.
Epic role playing in legendary Britain.
And I know that they currently have the license for the other, what's the pirate fantasy game? What's that one?
Oh, 7C.
7C. I don't think that they're doing any. I think that they just publish it or, you know, distribute.
So one of the things, just random fucking tangent, but one of the things that's really dope about Chaosium is they're super into availability for every edition. So they have like, you can buy the first edition 7C stuff because like they bought the rights. They actually use the rights.
Oh, really? I just thought that they distributed 7C. I thought 7C was done by someone else.
Mm. No, 7C was AEG, but I believe because AEG basically sold off all their IPs but Smash Up, and I'm pretty sure they sold the IP to Chaosium.
Well, yeah, I thought, but what I meant was the newest edition of 7C was done by someone else.
Oh, you know what? The newest edition, I believe, was through that Kickstarter.
Right.
Yeah, it was through the Kickstarter. Yeah, so I guess I don't know who currently is doing the current edition of 7C.
Yeah, I know
they're distributing it. Like you can buy the 7C core rulebook right now, the newest one on Chaosium, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're producing it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But what it comes back to is my hot take on it is I don't give a fuck because everybody who's complaining about it is the people who are complaining about it are making money off of Dungeons and Dragons. Like normal, this does not affect players at all. The only time it affects players is that if you get all of your enjoyment from Dungeons and Dragons from a streamer. So from a Matt Mercer or from a whatever live play you're watching, Dungeons and Daddies or whatever it is, that's where it's going to hurt. That's why they're complaining about it. And that's why you're seeing all this stuff complain about it. Now, after that happened, that was a long time for us for that. But now that they sent out a letter saying, yeah, we're going to look back at it. We're going to look at our OGL again.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think that the streamers kicked up enough dust that, you know, it might not have affected people, but it was enough PR that, you know, they want to keep a track of it. So there was a lot.
I think there had to have been a financial shift somewhere. So I think that campaign of like cancel your D&D Beyond, I believe, was successful.
It could very well be.
Because because that's the thing, if there wasn't an immediate financial pushback, and that's something I'm putting on my tinfoil hat right now. But this goes with everything right now. Like this leak, quote unquote leak, let's just throw it the fucking Roe v. Wade leak, like and all just like literally all of these things that are happening now. I think every one of these quote unquote leaks is an authorized dispensement of information because they can send out they're sending out feelers and they're like, how will the peons react to this? And then they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then if the reaction is like chaos, so example, if like people actually rioted over the Roe v. Wade thing, like literal riots, like with fires and stuff, you might have actually seen them be like, whoa, 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 that was just a draft. We're not actually doing that. Slow it down, ladies and germs. I think that's the same exact thing that's happening with all of these leaks that happen throughout all of the various like things now, like government, companies, everything. I think this was a test. They basically put this out there to be like, how will the goons freak out about this one? And we waited and saw, and they're like, oh, this was really bad. Good thing we didn't just roll this out. See, and now they can walk it back.
I agree with you to some point, but I think it's actually a slightly more malevolent. I think that what it is they give out the worst take. Everyone gets upset, and then they come back with a better take.
Oh,
they,
sure.
With their actual take. I mean, this is what we want to do. So that way they're able to get what they want because it's not as bad as the first one.
I agree with that, except I believe that the first take is genuine. I think it's genuine because I think they're going to be like, we want to try and get away with the maximum amount of shit. So let's see what these people say about it.
I mean, could very well be. It's Hasbro, so.
I mean, it's anyone. I think like, I just see these like all of these like leaks and releases. It seems because all of them are like so similar in like wanting to know like what the goons are going to do about this. Like everything that gets leaked seems like that. It's too coincidental to me to not seem like there's intent behind the leaks.
I believe though with the Roe v. Wade one, and this will be covered later in my political podcast, in Joe We Trust. In Trust We Joe. That's like my hot take political podcast, where it's basically me saying this is all your own fault. Every one of you.
Again.
You'd be ashamed of yourselves. No, I think that was actually released so that they couldn't change it. So that it was like, this is... They didn't want to put that on the back burner docket. They wanted to release it out there and say, like, this is what we said behind closed doors. And before they had a chance to change it, it was leaked.
I see.
You could blame Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, for that. She's the leak. And that's what they'll say. But they're not going to say that. They're going to say it was some staffer. But it was really it was Ginny Thomas. And just so you know. The Supreme Court is terrible. This is probably the second worst court in the history of the United States. And if you want to learn more, listen to In Joe We Trust, In Trust We Joe.
In Trust We Joe.
In Trust We Joe, my political cast.
Very good.
So anyway, they walked it back. So then we're just waiting on what the new one's going to be. I told you in my predictions last cast that we talked about, the D&D online system, that online play game platform that they're going to put out is not going to last that long. I don't think Hasbro truly understands how much upkeep that's going to require in terms of
engineers and stuff.
Engineers, you know, how buggy it can be.
Mm-hmm.
All of those fun things.
I don't know. I can't say. I think they could create. Like, is it possible to create a space that people would want to just stay at digitally like that? Yes, I believe it's possible. Is D&D beyond that? I don't know.
Is
because
it
like
beyond that?
I don't well, know. Well, no, is D&D beyond,
oh.
comma, that? I don't know. But the some of the stuff I've seen in like the preview videos, like the virtual table space does look very cool. Like it looks very much, it looks like an actual miniatures set, which I thought was an incredibly smart design choice. Like the angles, like it looks like you're looking at someone built a diorama. Diorama. Because they look like models. Like they look like miniatures. It's very cool.
I got a better idea. How about you just fucking play in a basement? Like you're supposed to play fucking Dungeons and Dragons.
I will stay in the online play.
You haven't left your house in like 4 years at this point.
Hey, I've gone to the pretzel place.
Oh yeah, the new pretzel place did open.
It's really good.
It's yes. They used to be right by my old house, and then when I moved, now they're by my new house.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, I mean it's about the same equal distance, and the lines still do get ridiculously long. And their raspberry jelly for the Monte Cristo is a little too spicy for my likes, but you know what? I still eat it.
I like it.
They have a Monte Cristo stuffed pretzel and it's delicious. Gnarly Knots. Western suburbs, check them out.
Check out Gnarly Knots. They're great. I'm a big fan of the online play. I like online play, but I also like in-person play. I don't feel that either one is strictly superior in all regards, but I do believe that each one has something that's strictly superior to its own.
Yeah.
There is something that's strictly superior about online, but there's also something that's strictly superior to in person as well. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't mind the Zoom play. Like, if you got five people playing Zoom and you're all just kind of on Zoom, that's
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah, they actually there's actually some pretty cool apps where you can actually put you can overlay your Zoom call and it'll edit out everyone's backgrounds and you can put them in like a spot on the screen so it looks like everyone's sitting at the table. It's pretty cool.
That just sounds more pathetic than anything. That
Uh,
just
it's that's just fun. They'd be able to, you know, hey, I'm sitting at my table with my friend from Oregon.
from Oregon. I like how you said that.
Thanks.
Speaking of funny accents, I was actually the guy I was working with. Well, let's go into some local Chicago talk for a second. A guy I'm working with, he did not know Moo and Oink. Do you remember the Moo and Oink
Oh,
commercials?
moo, 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 and oink. Moo, 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 and oink. Of course.
Yes. He so we went in a deep rabbit hole yesterday at the end of the day because we really had nothing going on where we were looking at old Chicagoland commercials, and he was shocked at Moo and Oink. He was like, "This was an actual commercial that aired." I was like,
Yeah, moo,
"Yes,
moo, and oink is still there.
yes." So if you well, there's only one location left, and it's in Hermosa,
Yes, but it's,
Hermosa.
you know, it is still there.
Yeah. I do recommend that if any of our listeners want an insight into the childhood of Joe and or Steve, look up Moo and Oink grocery store commercial
Yeah,
on YouTube.
you can also just go to moo-and-oink.com and you can watch the commercial there.
It's well, I mean, there's a couple commercials you gotta,
They have the classic.
but I was reminded of one and now it's stuck in my head. It's
Right.
do you remember the Aronson commercial, Aronson's?
Oh,
Well,
Aaronson.
I'm gonna see if I can find it,
Yeah,
because the jingle is the best one.
I no doubt will remember when I hear the jingle, but Aaronson's is not ringing a bell. That's not like one of the few that have been embedded into my brain by the programming of advertisements.
Yeah, I just like, I'm just gonna see if I can find the
You know,
jingle.
Luna, Enterprise. There's no jingle, but of course, Enterprise, or not Enterprise, Victory Auto Wreckers, Moo and Oink.
Yes, with every purchase, use your credit connection. Four-piece all-wood bedroom set, double dresser, mirror, chest, and headboard anniversary sale
You hear
price
that music in the background?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Triple dresser, mirror, five-drawer chest, and
Is this ringing a bell for you?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, there we go. There we go. Hey,
That's what I'm
Rinson.
saying. Like, it brought back such horrendous memories that now all I do all day long is like, Aronson's, home of the credit connection, Aronson's.
Aaronson. Yeah, I did. It wasn't until that final part totally was like, oh shit.
Childhood memories flooding back into head, all wood furniture everywhere.
Yup, home of the credit connection, Aaronson.
Yeah. And if you actually watch the commercial, you're like, every apartment I've ever lived in looks like it was furnished by
By
Aaronson.
Aaronson, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
I think so. I think there's still a couple of them. But yeah, like the
Nope, the one on Grand Avenue is permanently closed. On Grand Avenue.
Yes, I'm not a I can't honestly tell you if they're still open. It's not like Adrianifers.
Oh shit, Aaronson Furniture went out of business a long fucking time
Oh,
ago.
did they? All right.
2006.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess that is a long time ago in nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, look at the year, Joe. It's a long time ago. Fucking
Yeah, if
old.
there's, if there's not like if there's not a one in there somewhere, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's not in the teens, it's a long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad, but you know what? Another notch Bezos can add to his belt.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah, no, I guess furniture is pretty popular on Amazon.
It's just because it's delivered. That's the whole thing. Like I think last time I talked about how I had to put in new shelves in my kitchen. It's like when I got my new oven, I just paid for delivery and installation because I was like, you know what? I ain't gonna fucking do it. Just let them do it.
It's like I tell people, if you're gonna move, don't ask your friends, just save up the money and get movers to do it because it's
Well, no.
so much better.
Yeah. Well, when you're in your like 30s, you could do that. You know, you don't have like when you're in your 20s, you get your friends to help you move. when you're in your
20s, you generally have less shit to move to, so it's not that bad.
When you're in your late 30s, you're just like, you know what? I'm too old and I make too much money to deal with this nonsense. All right. So let's pause here and then we will come back for part two.
For tasting more, it's Encore.
The recording is in progress.
Yes, it is. Okay, so I paused there because I wanted to get on to our next topic, which is Adepticon.
Adepticon!
So the registration for Adepticon went up, and it's a little late this year. I think it's because they switched to a new registration system. Not 100% positive on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a lot more. You have a lot more info in this space than I do.
Oh yeah, because once again, you haven't left your house in 4 years, except to go to the pretzel place.
Pretzels.
So Adepticon put up their new registration, and it was kind of a shit show all around. And if this is not just like people online complaining is a shit show, because they're going to do that regardless of every year. Like, I couldn't get into the events I wanted to get into. Oh, yeah. When did you try to get into them? 3 days after registration opened. Well, that's not necessarily registration's fault, sir. Sir, would you please stop yelling? Sir, this is a Wendy's. I just need your order.
I have a Dave's Deluxe.
I don't think they make that one anymore.
I don't think so either. Anyway, the registration, it kept kicking people out. That was the big problem. It took for me personally. So I was going to play some gaming. I was going to do some gaming last Sunday with Tim. And Tim was like, oh, come over around, 1:30. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, shit, registration for Adepticon opens at 1 o'clock. You're going to I'm just going to be a little bit late. I'll be about 10 minutes late. Because I thought it'll take me about 10 minutes to get through everything. Oh, no, sir. Oh, no. It took me about 40 minutes to get through the entire registration process. But luckily, it was so bad for everyone else that I really got into everything I wanted to, because I was just persistent and I kept on trying to get stuff. I actually had three computers open at the same time, my desktop, a laptop, and my phone, trying to get into it. So that's probably part of the reason it's crashed. It's just because of me. Aside from that, it was like that was the bad thing. Everyone was complaining about it. It was pretty awful.
Pretty rough. Okay.
I know that they changed up how they did the very important gamer package.
Yes, they no longer there was basically, it was now pure chaos. It was just gonna be completely random to anyone who signed up. Because I guess before it was always like a first come, first serve thing.
Yeah.
So or there was some sort of first come, first serve lottery. I don't know.
There was a lottery is how they did it.
Yeah, there was some sort of control, but now it's literally just like, did you sign up? Okay, just random, like totally random.
But Steve, don't you want a bunch of miniatures for games that are going to be dead within a year?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, that's exactly what VIG is. You get a bunch of shit that you don't need. You
I'm
there,
good, man? I can you not hear me?
Oh, you went out for a second.
Oh, weird. I'm good. I do not need that.
Yeah, exactly. They gave out the Dominion box last year, which, to be fair, is a $200 box set. But if you don't play Age of Sigmar, and it's, you're not really going to do anything with it. I think that the probably the best thing in there was the orcs, in terms of you're not going to do anything just because they make decent fantasy models.
Yeah, those orcs are cool.
Yeah, I mean, but they're not for everybody.
Like the
and by that, I mean, not everybody's going to be playing Age of Sigmar and they even really know what it is.
True, but you could play that chaos game now where it's just you just put in random stats and get points.
Chaos.
So, I already forgot the name of it. Edge Battler.
Edge Battler. Ooh.
It's definitely not that, but that's a cool name for a game.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like you're trying to jerk off next to another person and you're edging yourself, and who could go edge themselves first?
We haven't started development yet, so we could go in that direction.
There you go. I'm just saying that it's like the edge battler is who fails at edging basically what it is.
Yeah, who fails at edging.
Yeah, they're so vulgar.
They're so it's so vulgar.
And I just like some of the events this year are crazy. They have all the standard events. They have, here was the, I'm just pulling up the event schedule. they have, you know, all of their 40K stuff. They have their Age of Sigmar stuff. GW's got a decent slate of things. I know you thought that they weren't going to have any sort of Underworlds. They do have some Underworlds stuff.
So when they launched, when the events launched, there was no Underworlds event. And Games Workshop specifically was like, yeah, we're not going to run one. It looks like the community ended up getting the events together. I only know this because I was talking to Kevin, and because he wanted to sign up for it, and he was like, there was no event when I looked, and I was like, that's not good for that game. and he's like, yeah, because we talked about how weird it was, because like that, like they, you and I were both talking about how like it seemed like they were kind of winding that game down. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like they are, at least not, because I thought like, well, maybe they are winding down. But then Kevin was saying that they have the highest end events in the UK like all the fucking time. So it would have just been specifically like, we're not running this event, you know, at Adepticon. But it doesn't matter now because, like I said, the community put it together, I guess. And now there's people running events. So there is now Shadespire at Adepticon.
Yeah. They have the Underworld's Nemesis format tourney, which is almost filled, and then they have the Grand Clash, which has got about 30 people in it, which I guess isn't terrible. It's just, you're right that it is huge in the UK. It's just in the US, the scene isn't quite as hot as it was. I think there was a lot of what's a burnout from it? It was like the pace in which it was coming out was too hot. And then COVID kind of
nixed
a lot of that too.
Because definitely burnout.
I think COVID played a big part in it because people couldn't play.
Also true. And you know, you were buying cards that were going to rotate, and that becomes a really weird position to be in for someone who wants to, like, you know, have it all or like be like competitive. Because it's like, well, when is this going to become competitive again? It's like, I guess I'll just wait. I think there was a lot of people who were just simply like, just decided, they're like, well, I'm not quitting, but I am waiting. I think there was a lot of that.
Yeah, I think they changed the format, so it might actually be worth looking into again, because you only need like one deck of cards instead of all of the warbands, which
it's totally changed now. You can pick the warband you like, and you like everyone kind of shares the same pool of cards, which is really good.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever on that end. They have everything. They have Kill Team events. They have Wrath and Glory is there. Soulbound is there. They also have a tourney for Warcry as well, which actually has more events than the tourney for Underworlds.
That kind of makes sense, because with Warcry coming out, it seems like Warcry is going to be the game to go with if you're looking for... if you're already invested in Shadespire, it's gonna be like, yeah, you just keep going. But it looks like if you want to get into a game that's like Shadespire scale, you know, skirmish, it seems like Warcry is the thing.
I would say that they're like two different parts of your brain, and if you're a player who likes the combo card kind of way of playing, that's Underworlds for you. You know, where it's just like boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna slap down four cards. This is my combo. This is how I'm gonna do it. It's kind of almost like a video game in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Underworlds is, Warcry is closer to classic gaming play, where it's, you know, members are running around on the board. You know, you're fighting against each other. It's a quick play. So it's two different styles. You know, the video game player doesn't like the ambiguity of like the measurement and the movement of Warcry, and the gamer of Warcry doesn't like the, I have to think ahead, like six moves ahead for my card building, so I could just run around and throw dice.
Yeah, no, I agree. That makes sense.
So I just wanted to go over some of the other fun little events that I saw. There is a War Gods. There are three War Gods of Aegyptus events.
Hey,
yeah.
What's the Discord thing? There's dozens of us.
Yes. There are the two events on Friday and Saturday are sold out. All four tickets have been sold.
That's great.
Which listener plays War Gods of Aegyptus? I can't remember.
I think it's Chapa Bear.
Oh, okay. They'll be very happy if they go to Adepticon, so that way
maybe they're already going. Perhaps they're one of the illustrious four.
The illustrious, I'm sure, because there's one that was sold for Thursday, and it's probably him.
I mean, I do like War Gods. I think it's a cool looking game.
I just think it's one of the things I thought was really funny is Legion, Star Wars Legion has 20 events planned. 20 events.
Wow.
I know, and that's just Legion. X-Wing has more. There is a event for Cronopia 3.5. Confrontation
Aww.
3.5. I know you'd be more happy with yeah, Confrontation.
I was about to get super hyped with Cronopia.
Oh, yeah, there is no Cronopia. There's also no Mutant Chronicles. So yeah, I'm sorry on that one.
Well, Mutant Chronicles makes sense because the game is currently in limbo, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
I believe the people who have the current rights to make Mutant Chronicles miniatures are not producing anything at the moment, but they hold the rights to it, so mm-hmm. it's in limbo. Because they also haven't officially canceled their game either, so...
Well, there's Wild West Exodus has an event. Crawling Back from the Dead. The Great Train Heist. 9 players for that so far. Yeah. There is also your favorite, Warmaster.
Warmaster!
Yes, 3 Warmaster events. And they got some healthy attendance looking. They got a narrative play thing going on. 6 out of 6 tickets sold. So it looks like they got some interesting stuff playing there.
I mean, Warmaster is awesome.
They are also doing a massive mythical Middle Earth battle on Saturday.
Oh,
yeah! It sounds like they're playing Battle 5 Armies. They just can't call it Battle 5 Armies.
Right.
That was another thing that I found interesting. Is that Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game only has 4 events. They got a tourney, and they have a doubles, pretty much.
Okay.
But they're big. Like, so their Battle Company's tournament is got 30 out of 40 tickets sold.
Nice. Good attendance.
And their grand tournament has 70 out of 70.
Wow, full sellout. Okay.
I know. That's insane. That's a huge
Middle Earth
tournament.
That is a huge tournament.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you last time I played in a tournament that was that big. And then bringing back your favorite bolt action or butt action.
Butt action.
They have a huge tournament going on for all of their events, too. They're almost all completely sold out. Like their tourney, Combat Patrol tourney, has got 39 out of 40 tickets sold.
And, Combat Patrol.
Yeah. Combat Patrol for butt action. The Cumbutt Patrol.
Cumbutt Patrol. Perfect. There we go. That's the new podcast. Let's start a new podcast. Cumbutt Patrol.
you know that there's someone who's listening to this right now who's going to be playing in the bolt action tournament, and they're going to be calling it that.
Yes.
The Cumbutt Patrol.
Cumbutt Patrol.
And one of those old guys who's like 60 years old, who's playing
takes
bolt
his
action,
toys very seriously.
Takes his toys very seriously. He's going to be very upset that someone's calling it the butt action combat patrol.
Yes. Just like that one guy who lost his mind when I kept calling Warhammer Army's teams. I kept saying, let's verse our teams. He like lost his mind. It was really funny.
Well, don't you want to play in the butt action doubles? The butt action doubles combat patrol?
No.
Yeah, the doubles tournament I always liked with bolt action. They're 39 out of 40 sold, so that's pretty impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a game as old as it is, it hasn't had a rules update in I think like 7 or 8 years. I think it was 2016 the last time they had a rules update. Oh. They literally haven't released an update to their army books in 6 years, and that game is still as strong as it is.
It's pretty impressive. I mean, I guess that goes to show that the game is balanced enough.
And that's the funny thing is, like, I don't think it's that balanced, but I think it's kind of shifted. It's
balanced enough. That's the key. Like, because there's the huge difference between like unbalanced and balanced enough. Because like people can handle metagames that are balanced enough forever, but if something's really bad, there will be an attrition where like they'll only play an edition for so long before they get fed up with the thing. So let's. I'll use a ridiculously egregious example, the Necrons in Battlefleet Gothic.
Ooh, they have a tournament too this year.
The Necrons in Battlefleet Gothic were so toxic. Like, if there was no update, like there's going to be an extremely short span of time where people play that game, unless the community comes together and just like bans something, which I don't think has ever happened before in minis. Well, no, I guess it recently happened with the dwarves, the 40K dwarves.
Oh, the Squats.
Yeah, that was the only time I think the communities ever rallied together to just officially ban something outright before an update was happening. So
yeah, I still think that's a conspiracy on Games Workshop's behalf, where they were like, "I'm going to release a super strong army so everyone wants to play it," and then they're like, "Hey, this is too bad, and this
too
is
super
so
strong."
Bad. And GW's like, "We're sorry, let's change it after everybody's already bought the minis."
So I do get that, but I'm gonna chalk that one up to whatever law the don't chalk up to malice what can be chalked up to incompetence.
It's stupidity. Not Bettenridge. Something's razor. Heinlein's razor.
Heinlein's razor. Yeah. So I'm gonna Heinlein's razor that, because this is the first book they are produced after they got rid of the playtesting team.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't really matter in the long run.
True. I just don't think it's that malicious.
So next up, Dungeons and Dragons Onslaught. Oh, but I wanted to mention Battlefleet Gothic does have a tourney. It's got 20 out of 20 people playing in it. So if you want to go see some sweet, hot Battlefleet Gothic action, you could look that up.
Ooh. We've also got viewer questions.
Yeah, we do. So we're going to have to get to that. Because I just wanted to go over just a couple more. And then Dungeons and Dragons Onslaught has like 30 events planned, and they're all like micro events. They're all like 4 to 5 people events. It's so weird. Like, I don't know if they did that just to like make it look like they have a lot of players, or like make it look like a hot ticket or something. I don't know why they did as many of like mini events as they have.
You know, that it's probably got something to do with how the space works. Like how like actual space works.
I mean, it could be. I just think it's really interesting when you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it is for sure.
All right. So let's get into some of our viewer questions. What Steve is talking about is we do have a Discord now. The Discord will be linked through the Facebook page. So if you follow us on Facebook or just go to our Facebook page, you could find the link to our Discord. Steve is super active on there he can now put that he is a Discord mod on his resume.
No, even more powerful, Discord admin.
Admin, that's what it is.
Yes.
I run a Discord for my podcast on gaming.
You're also a Discord admin. So we both have mastered this achievement.
Yes. Yes, we have. We've mastered that achievement. Like I'm an admin? What? So we do have a Ask Joe or Steve, which I'll make a regular thing for the podcast. So Captain Rufus, he asked us, I'm sure OGL 1.1 and the drama alone has enough for y'all to talk about, though any griping over World Eaters losing bikes will be welcome. World Eaters losing bikes is a perfect example of Games Workshop just putting out the army, and they just didn't have a sculpt for the new sculpt, so they're like, we're not going to release it, because that way we'd have to keep the old stuff still in stock or whatever else have you, and those are all really dumb looking because they're super old, and it's a matter of Games Workshop being like, should we resculpt this? Nah.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. It's them just like, we have no plans to do this model anytime soon, so we're just not going to put it in the book.
Yeah. And they're like, but it was a classic part of the army, and they're like, my hands are tied.
I mean, yeah. So they're going to give you the bad moral, my hands are tied. That's important. But the other thing is just like, just hold on to your bikes. They'll probably be back.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, it's 40K stuff comes in and out. It's slow, but that kind of stuff happens.
Anti-Tim asks, there was old world news. Was that actually news? Did we get anything other than bland concept art before they released the 6E starter box? If they released the 6E starter box with all of the plastics from 6E, I would be so happy.
That would be amazing.
It would be so amazing.
Yeah.
We'll
play some orcs versus Empire. I'll take the orcs.
All right. So you get a choice of two arms in the air or one arm in the air.
That's true.
And I get the choice of head merged to body. So yes, no, it was just bland concept art. They just kind of, they're giving some of the background on it. The longer I'm getting into this year, the more I'm realizing 6E and Old World's not getting released this year. It's new edition of 40K. They'll probably release some more information on it at Adepticon.
I think Old World is going to be quarter 1 2024.
Could be.
That's what I think. I think that's what they're lining it up for.
Cruise Taint asks, how do we feel about the return to boarding actions in 40K? Is it going to be a side game or a scenario type? It's a scenario type. I don't think it's going to be a side game.
Yeah, it's a scenario type. They pushed it with Kill Team too, so like it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's just that they're doing that Arcs of Omen Seasons of War thing, and that's how you know there's a new edition coming out, is because they only release campaign books at the end of an edition.
Yeah.
Just to get a little bit more life out of it. And it's not, if you want an actual like a side game, go play Zone Mortalis. That game is fucking, and then the models and the walls that you have for the boarding action, like that they released, are perfect for Zone Mortalis.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really like.
Yeah, very cool.
Damas asks, what will be the thing GW comes up with to limit our ability to just use old minis in the Old World game? A positive thing like a genuinely alluring product range, or will it just be army books for factions that don't yet exist, like Kislev, Forge World price special minis, and or bullshit special rules like first edition AOS, biggest best mustache?
I'm going to throw it out there. I'm actually going to say it's going to be a positive thing, like a genuinely alluring product range. I think we make fun of all the companies around here, but I think GW has finally kind of figured out how to do their version. Now, it's not great, but it's their version of fan service. And I think because they have kind of like figured out how to do that, I believe they're going to release their most friendly to the player version of Warhammer that they've done. So they're going to do awesome figures. They're going to be expensive, but it's going to be designed for, like, the idea is like, we expect that there's going to be this, people are going to be using this percent. Some egghead there has calculated what percentage of players will like want to use and how much they'll want to use of their old models. So they figured out, okay, we're going to replace with this and this, because they're going to do a bunch of the specific border princes, like special, you know, weapons, armor, details, that kind of stuff. There's going to be a reason to like buy it. But if you already own an Empire army, you're likely not going to rebuy an entire Empire army because you already have one.
And that's where I'm going to interrupt you. And this,
go.
I think that they waited long enough that most fantasy players have probably dumped their old armies.
Also true.
Yeah. So the people who haven't are like me and like a couple older grognards who aren't going to be the ones running out to buy it anyway. It's the younger people who never had a chance to, because you got to remember that game got discontinued in what, 2014 at this point?
2013? Yeah, 2013, I think, was it.
Somebody, oh, yeah. Okay, so like 10 years that most of the people who are buying Age of Sigmar or 40K never got the chance to buy fantasy. And so now all that nostalgia for people going like, fantasy was this great game. There was no game better than Warhammer Fantasy. Mm. And so they're like, oh, well, this game is probably pretty great. I wish I could have gotten an army.
That's true. And I do believe they will be coming up with a lot of things to limit your use of your Age of Sigmar models. So get ready for very tight regiment sizes.
Well, it will be. Yeah. Yeah.
Your circle bases. But I think they're actually going to push it to try and be as like, you know, as fan friendly as GW can make it. So,
yeah.
You know, there's the big boulder of salt with that one. But I think they realize that they don't want this to flop. And I think they're going to be, honestly, I think they're going to be working really closely with whatever the dev of Total War is.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Total War has a big part to play in this.
I completely agree. I think Total War's massive success and continued success and growth is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, driving factor for this game launch. Because I mean, if you think of everything, smacks Total War about it. It's just like, this is really. Like they were focusing on the same factions that were like recently, you know, the most recent introductions to Total War. Suddenly it's like, oh, Kislev. Oh, hey, we're talking about Kislev a lot. What was one of the biggest armies that they talked about in Total War? Oh, Kislev, because they're the banner army of the third game. Another one that they specifically name dropped for Old World, Tomb Kings. Oh, what was the most successful DLC for Total War 2? Tomb Kings. Like I just really think that there's a hand in hand thing going on with that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And Cruise Taint also asks on the back of that question. Also, if the Old World is coming back, What's the over-under on Dogs of War coming back? Captain Rufus adds, and why won't it include the Fighting Cox?
100% chance it will not come back. Yes. And because it's not coming back, that is why it will not include the Fighting Cox.
If you do want to get the Fighting Cox and you have access to a 3D printer, there's a Patreon called, I believe it's Lost Sword or Last Sword. I think it might be Last Sword. They're just this month, or last month, it was December, they did their own version of the Fighting Cox.
It is Last Sword, by the way.
Yes. Okay.
I confirmed that. I'm checking it out right now. So yes. Yeah, it's Last Sword.
So you look at their December and the Halfling Arch. You know what? I'm actually going to drop it into the Discord right now. So if you want to go see it, you can go to the Ask Joe and Steve section.
Yes.
And let's wait. How come I can't do this? Oh, there it goes. Okay.
I like it.
And so you can actually print your own Fighting Cox. And they have a little sign that even says the Fighting Cox in case anybody is questioning whether or not they are the Fighting Cox.
That's great.
Yes. So that's what, and that's kind of what it goes back to with Damas's question. Damas. I wonder if it's like dumbass.
I like dumbass.
Yes. I think, you know, because you were saying, I honestly think that in order to get people to buy the game, they're going to have to re-release the majority of the figures, like re-release the ranges with updates. And I think it's going to be more of, here's a new hero sculpt. Here's a new, you know, I don't think you're going to see Empire Spearmen re-sculpted. It's going to be the same ones you had that were released in the under 7th edition. I don't think you're going to get the skeletons for the Tomb Kings re-sculpted. What you're probably going to do is that the Tomb Guard are going to go down to your core choice as like, this is what they're going to look like because of the newest sculpts. It's going to be older, like the latest editions of older models that they'll have and they'll be able to re-release for it is what you're probably going to see. They'll probably release a couple new character models and they're going to have, I'm going to say that the rule book is probably going to have the majority of the army lists in it, kind of like how the Horus Heresy book had the majority of, well, I take that back. So the Horus Heresy had just released two rule books. So not like there was like, there's not like a book for the Sons of Horus, a book for the Ultramarines, a book for the Imperial Fists. Everything came in like two books. And that's what you're probably going to end up seeing.
Yeah, I could see that. I do fully expect, regardless of anything else that happens, I think that no matter what direction it goes, I would give my 99.9% feels chance to the box set, the launch set, whatever it is going to be ridiculous. Going to be great.
Like, oh yeah, you will get two full armies in it.
Yeah, you're going to get a massive amount of figures and it's going to be huge, you know, like you know, maybe like Battle for Skull Pass style, where you get like over 100 figures. I think it's gonna be like
I'm gonna say it's gonna be more like Blood Island, where you actually get, because Skull Pass didn't really have two playable armies. They kind of did,
yeah,
but it was very heavily towards the goblin side. Let me be honest on that.
Yeah, there was a lot more goblins.
Blood Island, I think, was closer to, well, they were about equal. It didn't really matter either way. I liked Blood Island. I thought Blood Island had a much more
It was a much more interesting box set because it had a lot more cool stuff in it, because the Skull Pass was just like all infantry.
Yeah. So it's going to be closer to those two, probably a little bit bigger. It's going to retail for $300. You'll get the full rule set. You'll get the two armies in there. More than likely, it will be the Empire and Orcs, but you never know. It could be.
Yeah. I think it might actually be an Empire versus Empire, man.
It could be. That would be smart, because that's what they, you know. Horus Heresy did that, and you got a fuck ton of figures in there, and it was great. It worked out.
Yeah, and the reason I think it'll be Empire versus Empire is the exact same reason you just said Horus Heresy, because then a single person wants to buy the set to use 100% of it for themselves, on top of the people who are like, let's split.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it makes sense either way. Plus, the Empire range is pretty much all up to date, so you could put everything plastic in there. You could put, you know, sprues for, you know, 40 guys.
Yeah, I think they're doing that's because they mentioned specifically that they're going to do the different versions of, or different locations in the old world.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do old sprue compatible new bits.
Yeah, very much so. Like, you'll probably end up getting, like, okay, so this is, like, last little bit on this. You probably have, like, enough to make about 40 infantrymen, so you can make, you know, two spearmen units or two halberdier units. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to get, like, two sprues of handgunners. You'll probably get a steam tank sprue, and you'll probably get some demigriff sprues.
Yeah.
Like, that will probably be what it is. They're probably not going to be redoing the Empire Knights. It would be nice because those are they're very ugly and out of date.
Yeah, they're
but
very old.
You don't know. It could be. But that's probably what it would be. If it's not that, it'll be Empire versus Orcs.
Like, I think they'll redo the Knights, because I think the Knights are going to be a huge selling point for the edition, because the Knights are the thing where they can really do a lot with the heraldry. So I think there's actually a good chance they do redo the Knights.
Could very well be. All right, so that gets us to about the end of what we're talking about today. We didn't talk about Star Trek at all.
Oh, man, fucking Strange New Worlds is so fucking good. I finished it.
Did you get
it.
The finale yet?
I finished it. Holy shit, it was so fucking good.
The finale where she shows up in the Star Trek II uniform?
Yes!
Yeah.
It was dope.
Super dope.
Man, yeah, it was so fucking good. I cannot wait for more.
What did you think about the Kirk episode?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really well done time travel episode.
Well, no, not that one. Not the time travel one. The one where he's like doing the. Wait, maybe that is the time travel episode. I'm just thinking the one where he works with Kirk around like the neutral zone thing.
Yeah, where they do the episode Balance of Terror.
Yes. Yeah, they do Balance of Terror.
Yeah. That's time travel because he's living the reality that led to the horrible future that his future self is coming to warn him about.
Yes. And I did like that Balance of Terror. Like, it was very cool to see that, right?
It was awesome. It was so cool to see that because it was so masterfully done. Because I just recently watched Balance of Terror. I really appreciated what they did, because they did. So the scenario is, if you haven't watched Star Trek, Balance of Terror is there's the cloaked Romulan ship versus the Enterprise, and it's a very like a submarine duel. It's one of the best episodes, if not the best episode of the original series.
Yeah, it's a rip off of Run Silent, Run Deep, but that's besides the point.
Super good. Hey, well, most of the best stuff that everyone loves are huge ripoffs of something else.
Yeah.
So what they did is Pike, the captain from this series, is out of action by the time that happens in the original series. So Kirk is the captain of the Enterprise. So in this universe, or this universe's timeline, Pike managed to avoid the incident that puts him out of action. So he's still in charge of the Enterprise, but Kirk, you know, due to like him being Kirk, he's still a captain already.
Yeah, he's a captain of a different ship. We'll call it the Stargazer.
The Stargazer. He's the captain of the Stargazer. So they get together, and the same scenario plays out with the two ships this time instead of just the Enterprise. And Kirk has the same gut feelings and instincts of what he has in the original series. And he says everything kind of the same way. So he's like, we should do this. And then Pike either agrees or disagrees. And in some cases he agrees. So you see the stuff play out kind of the same as it did in the original, but in other cases he disagrees. And because he's the superior commanding officer at the time, it changes the results of the episode. Very cool. Very well done.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, I was like, Steve's going to love this.
It was so good.
So that was our Star Trek talk for today.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so fucking good. I cannot fucking wait. I cannot wait for season two.
Yeah, the new season is going to be great.
Oh, it was so good.
So you can go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way to get a link to the Discord app that we all have. Or you can either find us somewhere and message us. We'll give you the Discord link.
Yeah.
It's kind of the best way that we're interacting. Steve's on there constantly, which I appreciate, because that means I don't have to do it as much. And, you know, we'll show off your models, ask questions, you know, just shit post. That's what we kind of appreciate the most.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And it's a good way of getting in for the new recent episodes.
Yeah.
I'm still on the Instagram. You can find me at Game Classy Joe. Steve is no longer on the Twitter, unless you went back.
No, I did not. I'm done. Yes. We're done. I'll come back if Elon goes away.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can see my Blood Angels that I'm working on for the Adepticon Horus Heresy. Horus Heresy. Turn games that are going on over at Adepticon this year. So if you do go to Adepticon, you could probably see me there. I will probably not be entering in Golden Demons this year. I just don't care as much. I just don't. So aside from that, you could also like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube is the best way you can help out the podcast.
Yes.
So, Steve, until next time.
In a different reality, I could have called you friend.
But we are friends, Steve.
Yeah, I guess. Fuck. You ruined my quote.
Game classy.